I want to encourage you during this time of uncertainty to continue to rely on the promises of God. And this morning, I want to just share a prayer of Paul's from 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 12 and 13, where he prays for the church. Paul prays that the Lord Jesus would cause us to increase and abound in love for one another, and that the Lord would establish our hearts unblameable in holiness before God, our Father, at the coming of Jesus with all his saints. Paul is teaching us how to pray for all believers. We should pray for their faith to grow, for their love to grow, and their behavior would be holy and blameless before God. What a precious way to pray for others and for ourselves. The goodness of God has not been canceled. Wake up each morning and know that God loves you, and rejoice that he is with you each and every day. And I pray that these messages will be, that you will be blessed by them. And if you are able and moved by the Holy Spirit to give to our ministry, please mail your donations to Augustana Lutheran Church at 3251 Midway Road, Duluth, Minnesota, 55810. Our message this morning is titled, How Are We to Live? From 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 1 through 12. Let's pray. Father in heaven, almighty God, we come before your throne of grace in Jesus' precious and holy name, our Lord and our Savior. And we ask that the Holy Spirit would speak to our hearts, our souls, and our minds, that we may grow in your grace, in your knowledge, in your wisdom and understanding. And we ask, Heavenly Father, that you would fill us with your presence as we hear this word and as we read this word. We pray, Heavenly Father, you'd fill everyone with your presence. In your precious and holy name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. How are we to live? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 1 through 12. Finally then, brethren, we urge and exhort you in the Lord Jesus that you should abound more and more, just as you received from us how you ought to walk and to please God. For you know what commandments we gave you through our Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor, not in passion of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God, that no one should take advantage of and defraud his brother in this matter, because the Lord is the avenger of all such. As we also forewarned you and testified, for God did not call us to uncleanness, but in holiness. Therefore, he who rejects this does not reject man, but God, who has given us the Holy Spirit. But concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. And indeed, you do so toward all the brethren who are in all Macedonia. But we urge you, brethren, that you increase more and more, that you also aspire to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, and to work with your own hands, as we commanded you, that you may walk properly towards those who are outside, and that you may lack nothing. Amen. Our love is to abound towards others. We should express the full love of God to others as we have received this when we accepted Jesus. In John chapter 1, verse 16, it says, and of his fullness have all we received, and grace upon grace. We have received his grace, and we are to share his grace. When Jesus died on the cross, he died for our sins, and not only for ours, but for the sins of the whole world, as it says in 1 John chapter 2, verse 2. When we believe in Jesus, we become a child of God. It says in John 1, 12, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name. And in John 1, 13, who were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. When we believe in Jesus, we are born again. We are born of God, and we are a new creation in Christ. Then Romans 10, 9 and 10, wonderful promises for us. It says that if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. These verses don't say you might be saved, but they say you shall be saved. And we praise God for our salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. Our message today is about our walk, our pleasing God, our sanctification, and our behavior toward others. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, it says, finally then, brethren, we urge and exhort you in the Lord Jesus that you abound more and more, just as you received from us how you ought to walk, and to please God. For you know what commandments we gave you through the Lord Jesus. Paul is encouraging both the Thessalonians and us in how we ought to live and to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. There is a progression in our faith. 2 Corinthians 5, 7 tells us, for we walk by faith and not by sight. And in Hebrews 11, 6, it says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder to those who diligently seek him. I believe the progression of faith from Scripture is believing, loving, obeying, and pleasing God. John 3, 16. For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. When we believe in Jesus, we will not perish, but have everlasting eternal life. When we believe that Jesus died for our sins and was raised from the dead to make us right before God, then love will follow believing, which is the first commandment our Lord Jesus gave us in Matthew 22, verse 37. It says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Love follows believing. Next, Jesus says in John 14, 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. Obedience is an outpouring of love. And pleasing God follows obedience. Pleasing God comes from the heart. The progression of our faith is believing in Jesus Christ, loving him and obeying him, and pleasing God. As we abound more and more in God's love, we will grow to please God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4 said, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God who tests our hearts. Pleasing God should be the focus of the Christian life. And as children of God, we should live to please God, our Heavenly Father. Enoch pleased God. It says in Genesis 5, 24, Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. And in Hebrews 11:5, it says, by faith Enoch was taken away so he did not see death, and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. And Jesus also said in John 8:29, I do always those things that please him. We are to put Christ first and please him, our great God and Savior, and please God, our Father in heaven. Pleasing God means more than obedience. Jonah obeyed God, but did not please God, as his heart was not in his obedience. Ephesians 6, chapter 6, verse 6 says this, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as bond servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Pleasing God comes from the heart. Are you pleasing God? How do we know what pleases God? By reading the Word of God and by talking to God in prayer. We must get to know God. This means we are not to behave in a way that pleases ourselves, but in a way that pleases God. The commandments mentioned in verse 2 do not refer to the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments were given to point out our sinful nature and our need for a Savior, our need for Christ Jesus. They were given to point out that Romans chapter 3, verse 23 is true, where it says, for we all sin and fall short of the glory of God. And that by faith in Christ Jesus, he has redeemed us and paid the price for our sins that we could not pay. Verses 3 through 5 of our text talk of sanctification and how we are commanded to live a holy life. Verse 3 begins, this is the will of God, our sanctification. The will of God is that we be sanctified. Sanctification means to be set apart for God, the blood of Christ, and our faith in Jesus has sanctified us. As Revelation chapter 1, verse 5 says, Christ has washed our sins clean by his blood. Our sanctification is a work of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. There are three aspects to sanctification. First, positional sanctification. Second, practical sanctification. And third, total sanctification. First, our position in Christ is of him and our faith in him. When we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior and put our trust in him, we are sanctified. We are saved at that point and are a child of God. This positional sanctification is in Christ's perfection and is not of us in any way. It is our position in Christ by believing in him. Second, practical sanctification is of the Holy Spirit, working in us to change our habits and to allow us to grow in God's grace and to realize how great our salvation is. The Holy Spirit produces the outward holiness in our life. Third, total sanctification will take place when we are conformed to his image at his coming. 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. I want to just stop here for a second. Can we really just imagine the awesome privilege to be a child of God? Oh, we so many often we take that for granted. What an awesome privilege it is to be a child of God. Then the verses continue. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. This is when total sanctification takes place, when we are like him. When Christ comes to take us out of this world at the rapture, we will be like him. Sanctification means to be set apart for God. The moment we, as a lost sinner, come to Christ and accept him as our Savior and put our trust in him, we are part of God's family and set apart for God's use. Every believer is set aside for God's use. Are we letting God use us today? We are a witness of Jesus in all that we do. We are not always a good witness because of our sinful nature. But we are still a witness, whether it's good or bad. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3, it says that you abstain from sexual immorality. Sexual immorality does not please God. It was a problem in Paul's day, and it's a problem today. This verse is a command written to Christians, and it means that we should not be involved in sexual sins. We do not hide anything from God. God says our bodies should be saved for a marriage relationship, and that we should not be involved in extramarital affairs. When a person saves their body for marriage and is faithful to their partner, then this is possessing their body in sanctification and in honor. How are we to behave toward others? We are told that no one should take advantage or defraud his brother. We need to be honest with everyone. As a child of God, we shouldn't go back to our sinful nature in relating to other people. For God has not called us to uncleanness, but unto holiness. We are to live as close to Christ as we can. We do have a sinful nature and will sin. But the Holy Spirit will help us not to live in sin. The Holy Spirit is within us. 1 Corinthians 3:16 says, "Do you not know that you are a temple of God and that the Holy Spirit dwells within you?" The Holy Spirit helps us. The Holy Spirit has been given to every believer and has given every believer the fruit of the Spirit from Galatians 5:22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The first fruit mentioned here is love. Knowing that God loves us and that we can love him and love others. And as a result of this, then we have the joy of God, the peace of God, the patience, the kindness, goodness, and faithfulness and gentleness of God. Knowing that God is in control gives us all these qualities of the fruit of the Spirit. Verse 9 says, "Now as to the love of the brethren, you have no need for anyone to write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another." As this section of Scripture ends, we are given several commands: to live a quiet life, to attend to our own business, and to work with our hands. To be quiet is a good command, because too often we say too much. We do not mind our own business. working with our hands means we should be doing something for God. This can go from preaching to witnessing, or just being a happy child of God. The final verse of our text is how we should treat unbelievers. So that you may behave properly toward outsiders and not be in any need. We need to be honest and to live a consistent life. If you were tried in the courtroom for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? Today, people are being imprisoned and persecuted for being Christians. Are we living a sanctified life, a holy and Christ-like life, where there'd be witnesses that would say that we're Christians? God wants us to be a witness for Jesus and to allow the light of Christ to shine from us. It says in Matthew 5:16, "Let your light so shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." By the Holy Spirit's help, let's live as close to Christ as we can. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Almighty God, we just praise you and thank you for this word. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that it is your will that we be sanctified. And we are to abound in your love. And we're to live as close to Christ as we can by the Holy Spirit's help. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you would teach us. And we ask all of this in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen.